Welcome to Tribe Talk, the podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder and CEO of Tribe of Women. During each episode, we'll hear from guests from around the world that connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and more good men, and to answer your questions about how to grow the Tribe of Women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Hello. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being here. If you are new to the podcast, you are in luck because this is our new format. Yay. We learned so much from the first year in podcasting, and we are putting those lessons together here for you. If you've been around and you've listened to the podcast before, first of all, thank you. And we hope that you like the improvements. As always, we want to hear from anyone, anytime, and you can email us at info@tribeofwomen.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or wherever you're listening from. We would love to hear from you. It's a great way to get feedback to us. So through all of this listening and lesson learning, which is life, one of the things that we realized is through our work and being open to working anywhere in the country or around the world, we meet some of the most amazing people. So first, I want to say that there are more stories and incredible people doing things to support women than we could ever capture. And that's a good thing. That's the good news. The hard news is that part of our job in podcasting is to narrow down our dream list and choose who we're going to highlight on the podcast. So we're finding other avenues and other ways to bring you those other stories that we come across outside of the podcast and introduce you to the people that we meet or that we seek out because they are supporting women in wonderful ways. So you can stay up to date with all of that goodness through tribeofwomen.com. You can go to tribeofwomen.com and join the newsletter. And when you go to Tribe of Women, you just click join the tribe. Now, I mean, you're already part of the tribe. If you support women, you are part of Tribe of Women. That's just a gimme. But if you want to officially get our newsletter, then go to tribeofwomen.com and click join the tribe. So today we are very excited because we're bringing you a woman that we met who just exudes happiness, friendliness, and light. She's a light person. She is one of those women that you are immediately attracted to, and luckily she was attracted to us right back. Dr. Tiona Jenkins is a senior program advisor for health equity at the Clinton Foundation. We soon found out that so much of her light is coming from her personal journey with her health and turning that into her personal mission to coach and support women with their health through her Plate It Healthy initiative. You know, even at Tribe of Women, we have been, you know, we as a tribe team, we work really closely together. And so over the past year, we've noticed that we have all gone through things with our health and we're sharing them with each other because we're a team and it affects our daily lives and our work. But we also talk about the fact that women don't share their health stories often enough. And we're finding that when we do, they make a difference for everyone that hears them. If nothing else, we have made people around us aware of some of the health issues that people face and some of the struggles that we're going through. And we're also explaining, or we're also sharing, that we're human. We're real people with bodies that don't always do what we wish that they would do. And at best, we find a tribe of people that are going through or have gone through same or very similar things. And that is just one of those things that is so important to do. And then we find women like Tiona, who not only share their stories, but they take it to another level and do something about it and share it on a mass scale. And that is just an incredible thing. So we gave Tiona a call so that we could bring more of her story and inspiration to you.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I was talking to Lorraine about you and and just kind of your, you've got such a great, interesting backstory and an array of passions. And I love that, that your journey has led you to healthy eating. So Give us a little tidbit backstory. You're at the Clinton Foundation, but you also have this other initiative. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So, hi, Dr. Lorraine. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, just a little bit of background and backstory. So, I have always been interested in health and public health specifically. So, originally, I wanted to do some things around clinical health, but after doing lots of research and being introduced to a network of public health care practitioners, I decided a while back that I really wanted to kind of focus on population health and what could change communities as a whole and not necessarily just individual interventions. Now, of course, I know that physicians and other clinical care people in that space, they also do population health as well, but I wanted to be fully enthralled within population health. So went to school, got all that background with public health, and I also wanted to see how I could work around changing the conversation around practice and policy. I've always felt just through observation and through academic training that if we wanted anything to stick, we had to change the conversation, dialogue, practice, and policy. So kind of
Absolutely.
married those two things together in Arkansas, and and Amy, all of the healthcare issues we have, not only in the United States, but specifically in Arkansas and in the South. So I wanted to be a part of that solution. So, long story short, went through some time of working at different foundations. So worked with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation around childhood obesity and policy there. Did some work here in Arkansas with our Surgeon General, and at the time, well, it was Governor Huckabee and Governor Beebe around policy changes here in the state, and then got an opportunity to come on to work for President Clinton through his initiative of doing a lot of systems and population health change. And so with that being like, my professional hat, so to speak, because we all wear so many hats, right? So, with that being my professional hat, and knowing these things, I, at the time, just, really stressful, busy, working, and trying to figure it all out. And then, you sometimes let go of yourself because,
Sometimes.
because we're just trying to make it happen, right? I have two beautiful daughters, an 11-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I have a wonderful, supportive husband, which I'm very, very grateful for. He's my college sweetheart, and so and so just trying to make it happen. And then, after the birth of my second daughter, I just really, like I said, I gotten a little older, a little bit more mature, and
Cool. I like shorter, much better than older. Yeah, that's good.
right, mature, got a little mature, and so just kind of got overwhelmed with things and needing to really start making myself a priority. And so my husband, again, I really do, I'm really thankful for him because I would just really stress out over stuff, right? So isn't that like, kind of, what's the word, ironic, or it's just,
You were taking care of other people, but not yourself.
So like our, the health, and I always say, and I can always talk about us because I work in public health, but we are like the worst. And at like taking care of ourselves and also trying to make the world a better place as it comes to health. And so my husband, he was like, you really have got to do something that makes you happy. Not saying that work doesn't make you happy, because I know you love your work, you love what you do every day, but he's like, you have got to take a break. Like, you have got to like take a mental break and find something that makes you happy and you can find enjoyment in that. And it actually, honestly, it took me a while to do that. Like, I was like, well, I don't know. What makes me happy?
Well, kind of, if so, what do you think? Was there you know, sometimes it almost takes a crisis for us to, you know, turn the spotlight on ourselves. What is it do you think that he was observing? And that's the other thing. It also takes the people around us sometimes to say, hey, this isn't, right. I don't even slow down enough to realize that we're.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I've been with my husband a really, really long time. And so I just think over time, he just kind of, you know, he knows me and my actions and all that kind of stuff. And so I would exhibit stress, which is also a huge challenge that we don't talk about enough around in individual solutions or, you know, included in population health. I would exhibit stress in many different ways. So either, you know, I would have pain in my, you know, my neck or my back. I have had ulcers, you know. I've exhibited stress by, you know, hair thinning, things like that. And so at that time, I have a history of chronic disease, heart disease in my family. So unfortunately, you know, my father passed, and his father passed at very early ages. My father passed in his mid-30s, and I was from a heart attack, and I was, you know, preteen or whatever. So I've had just, you know, in my family, just a history of, you know, heart disease, diabetes, and things like that. And so at this particular point in time, stress had been, you know, exhibited in different ways. And I think what was happening is that it was just escalating, right? So I wasn't listening to the signs of, hey, you know, Tiana, you need to take a break. Now, mind you, during this time of my husband saying, you need to take a break, you need to take a break, I was not Dr. Tiana Jenkins, okay? I was trying to become Dr. Tiana Jenkins.
You were on a mission.
Right. And so I was working, and going to school full time and, you know, all of that. So I was like, I don't have time to slow down. Like, I have a family. I got to, you know, I got to go to school. I got to learn, you know, social change theory. I need to figure this out.
You're coming along.
Right. And so, but I did not listen to the signs, you know, not at the extent that I needed to. So I would say, okay, I'm going to go try to work out. And it would be like a challenge, or I would do it for like a week and I would stop, or, you know, something like that. It wasn't until I started having repetitive chest pain. And I was like, okay, this is serious. I need to go and I need to get myself, you know, checked out, get my blood work done by a clinician, and I need to, you know, get my entire life together.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, in our society and culture is, well, for lack of a better term, pill-popping culture. Like, if we have a headache, pop a pill. We don't drink more water and take a rest. We just pill and move on. And that's a real challenge. And I think it's a challenge, especially for women, because of all the things that you're talking about. Work, family, furthering education, and our ambition, and just having all of that on our plate at the same time. And I am using plate for a reason.
Yes, plate is healthy. And so with all of that, you know, I had that alarming sign in my mid-30s. And so that made me immediately think about my father in the past. And so, and how I felt as a child not having, you know, my father around. And so I wanted to be, of course, I want to be, you know, here for my family, my husband, my, you know, my mom and everybody else and my daughter. So I went and got the work done, and I was walking around with a heart monitor, which also was another visual that made me think about, you know, I need to, you know, figure this out. So I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And I just, you know, like a light bulb was like, okay, Tiana, like, you know, you have all the tools you need. You are a public health person. You know exactly what you need to do. So you just need to stick to it, and you need to do it. And I'm laughing now, but it was a very long journey. 4 years to be exact. But through that process, I really had to dig deep around food and my relationship with food and emotional eating and stress eating and all of that, which led me to develop Plate It Healthy.
Yay.
That's Plate, yay, Plate It Healthy. Yeah. And I promote quite a bit around whole food, plant-based lifestyle, and just healthy living and wellness in general.
Yeah. I'm super excited about learning more about that. My biggest challenge, really, it's like I want to, and I know these things. I know what's right,
right.
What's good, but I'm a crappy cooker. I mean, like,
you're not a crappy cooker.
Business, but some people have green thumbs for, I cannot cook. I do not have a green thumb for food. So it's one of my biggest disconnect, because I will try stuff and then it's not good.
Yeah. Is it not? But is it not good because of your taste buds, or is it really, really not good? Like,
no, I really don't know. I'll even follow. I figured out a psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. When someone like does it for me and it's special, and I haven't had to smell it for the last hour, so I'm real hungry for it, and it'll taste good.
Yeah. Right.
So when even when I do it, I don't want it anymore usually.
Because it's just been all up in it.
But then my family doesn't want it either, because something about what I do, it just doesn't work for me. So I don't know what my solution is, but I'm excited.
Well, practice does make perfect, so we can continue to practice, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, your thing is that you could, you know, order or pay for. It's lots of, you know, chefs now, or, you know, folks who cook that are, you know, coming up with places you can order food and things like that.
Yeah.
So you can always do that. Or you can always go to my blog or website and figure out how you can make sweet potato nachos.
You do have a great blog and website.
Thank you.
You've had taken a lot of these questions, and you've come across a lot of these challenges. So what?
Yeah.
Some of the things that that are, you know, standing in our way, and sometimes it is cooking, and so what are some of the things that you're coming across, and that probably tie very closely to your journey as well?
Right. So it definitely did come across my journey. I would say the issue or the conversations around self-care.
Yeah.
So that, it seems like that's always something that gets a lot of interest in different spurts, right? So everybody wants to talk about self-care, and then nobody wants to talk about self-care and, you know, national news or, you know, local news or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm always talking about self-care. I am a huge proponent of self-care now, especially just, you know, having, you know, what I've learned and what I've went through.
Yeah.
But I think when we think about some of those challenges, we really have to look at and ask ourselves a question. Do you take care of yourself? And just really be honest with that. Do you take care of yourself? And most of us will say, yes, of course I take care of myself. Like, that's, you know, a silly question to ask.
Yeah.
But then when you go into the specifics and asking in what ways do you take care of yourself?
Yeah.
Right. So you really have to look at what specific ways do you take care of yourself? And so I had to do an assessment of myself and say, well, how do I take care of myself?
I need a
checklist. And hopefully you don't have to go through, you know, some of the experiences I went through, or if you did, you know, really do a self-assessment and kind of outline in what ways do you take care of yourself. And when I did my self-assessment, I really wasn't taking care of myself consistently for me to reach, you know, optimal health. Another challenge, too, is that when we talk about self-care, and I experienced some of this, you know, when I started talking about self-care and self-love, and I'm going to yoga, and I'm, you know, people are like, what? Like, what is this about? you know, and, you know, of course, my you know, very close family were, you know,
Well,
my family were very supportive, but other family members or, like, just his friends are like, Tiana has lost her mind, you know. So, you know, we have to get out of the mindset of thinking that self-care is something that's weird or selfish. Right, we have to get out of that mindset and thinking that. And, you know, and why is being selfish a bad thing?
Yes. You know? Yes, exactly. Well, and the other thing is, the irony is that the reason that you're doing it is because you want to be there for the ones that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still want to be, you want to be around, you want to stick around, and that disconnect is a real challenge for us.
Yeah, and quality. You want to have a quality.
Yeah,
experience.
Quality life, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say too that, you know, not only do you want to be there for the ones you love, but you want to be there and show up for yourself. You know, for you as well. So I, you know, through this whole journey, I've become more alert, mm-hmm. you know, in like my day-to-day activities, working, interacting with people, engaging, you know, I'm not as cranky or, you know, begrudging or whatever, you know, the word is, but, you know, I'm lifted, you know, a little bit more because I've taken that time. And I've made it a priority in my life to say, I'm going to take care of Tiana.
Yeah.
And some of the ways in which I did that, again, over time, it didn't happen overnight. So I like mm-hmm. to say that this is like a journey and not a destination, right? It's not a place where you ultimately say, yes, I am all self-cared for right now.
Thank you. Very much. And you'll fall off the wagon on occasion.
Exactly. You will. Exactly. So, you know, some of the tips that I have in thinking about, you know, this conversation around self-care, some of the tips that I've used and still continue to use is mm-hmm. that I created a no plan, right?
Yeah.
So a no plan of things that I do not like or things that I do not want to do.
Well, that's a real good one. I love that.
Yeah. So, like, I had to stop myself from checking. I had to stop myself from checking emails at night. Like, I had to stop myself literally from checking emails at night. Not attending functions that I didn't want to attend, right? Now, of course, mm-hmm. if things are work-related or things like that, I totally get that. But just attending functions to attend functions, but you don't necessarily, like, feel a connection there. Like, it's okay to say no to things. I think it's all a part of self-care. And I also had to create, like, a yes plan or things that I do want to do. So I will make time for myself. I will remove unproductive places, people, or anything that takes my time for granted.
Good.
Right.
And that's an energy thing, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Just like going It is.
Just going to events, it takes extra energy to go places or be with people that are taking it from you.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a specific demand on myself that, which I love the name, you know, of the podcast, I will find my tribe of women.
Yes.
And so I think that it, again, it's not a destination, it's a journey. And sometimes in making this no plan or the I will plan, people are, you know, or, you know, former associations will fall off.
Yeah.
And that can be hard for people. And that can be, it can be, you know, challenging. Mm-hmm. And so you have to decide, or I had to decide, was this particular association or this person beneficial for my wellness?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you go ahead and you tell us that we need to decide too.
Right. I had to see if this, you know, person or association or whatever it was this a part of my tribe of women?
Yeah.
Right? Because sometimes, I would just personalize it, you know, there are times when, you know, I would associate because, you know, that's the thing to do, or it looks like that's the place to be, or, you know, you're just kind of like ripping and running and associating with everything that's not.
And making up people happy. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, and making other people happy. Right. Mm-hmm. So during this process and during this journey of self-care, I just, you know, I was like, I need to find my tribe of women. Mm-hmm. I want to be around women who want to do the things that I do and talk the way I talk, or, you know, interested in the things that I'm interested
fill
in.
Fill your cup. Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I help, you know, it's interesting. One of the benefits that we think of when we talk about Tribe of Women is that there are actual mental and physical health benefits. And so
it is.
You have a doctor in front of your name, and you have said, and therefore it is now gospel.
I love it. Exactly. Exactly.
No plan.
Right.
On a TED talk that more than anything else, it is the love of your tribe and those relationships that you forge that keep you healthy in the long term. But absolutely how you, and permission, part of that is permission to not feel selfish when you're caring for yourself.
And the other side is accountability, right, Tiana?
Right.
You have people that say, hey, girl, you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And or, hey, you said that you weren't going to eat that, and it's a right. you, so let me help you out here.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's so funny you say that, Amy. So it's so funny you say that, because now, of course, you know, the followers or attention is growing for Plate It Healthy, right?
Yes,
so everybody knows that, you know, oh, Dr. Jenkins is about that whole food, plant-based life, you know, so they know this, right? And so... you know, they'll be like, you know, wherever I go, because I have an orange today. I'm like, okay. You know, or, you know, I skipped out on this. Right, exactly. So I'm like, oh my goodness, now I'm accountable to the world, right? So everybody's going to be looking at my plate.
Accountability. You know, it is.
Right.
You can be on track when you sometimes don't even want to.
Right. We're our own worst enemies so often.
We are. But let me tell you something, though. I am a strong believer, too, in if you are going to promote it, then you have to be about it.
Yeah.
Right?
So, you have to walk the talk. Yes.
Right. So, like the podcast, A Tribe of Women. Mm-hmm. So, you all are about this tribe of women, right? That would be... not transparent or truthful if you promoted a podcast about a tribe of women and then you actually weren't supportive of women.
Yeah, exactly. That would the other side of that is being honest about how hard it can be sometimes.
It is,
and
yeah.
being real about some of those challenges that we face, and because that perfection paralysis that people have is because. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these faces of people that are saying, here, I did it, and here's how you do it, as if you did it perfectly the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's not the truth in anything. And so I love that you are, you know, you take people on the journey with you. And again, you are saying it because you've been there and you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, with Plate It Healthy, your people are coming along with you as well. And that's wonderful.
Right.
I love it. All of your things we get to discover.
Yeah, most definitely. You touched on a key point there about the perfection paralysis piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's heavily tied into our personal relationships with food and our bodies and images that we see and how we feel like, okay, you know, I have to be perfect. This is, you know, the only way that I can eat. I can never, ever, like, have a day where I fall off or a time that I, you know, don't, you know, eat perfectly.
Yeah. And then we beat ourselves up.
Right, and we get the paralysis, right. And even with that, we have to really be mindful of our emotional connections to food.
Yeah.
So I, you know, again, using myself, when going through this journey of trying to figure out what would work best for me and for me to obtain optimal health for myself, I would stress eat, right? Mm-hmm. So, and which was all the time. So that means I was eating all the time.
Oh, stress. And I was eating.
Right. I was stressing, right? I had this deadline. Oh, might as well eat, you know. So eating all the time. And I also recognize that I've been a physical student in somebody's university for the, you know, for a huge portion of my life. So I was, you know, always up studying very late. And so food would keep me up and coffee.
Yes.
And so I recognize that too. And so it's, you know, pulling out these things that, okay, stress makes me eat, you know, staying up late nights makes me eat. Right, right. So I have to recognize these, you know, emotional connections as well, and then try to come up with solutions around that. But
That's a really good point. And it's not, and there's cycles and depression is another, you know, some people it's because they're depressed, and some people it's because of stress. And and I think that they, that sleep is a huge piece too.
When you're going in it at both ends like that, there's no there's no built-in time to prepare. And I think that and you I think you would agree with this that preparation and the pre-thought is key to it, because sitting down to eat the food is, it's limited, and it does have to do with your relationship, but you need to be in the mindset and in the lifestyle that promotes everything from how you shop, what you buy, how you prepare, what you do. And that's, I don't think people realize that it's okay to make the time for that. That is self-care, because then when you're sitting down for that 15 minutes to actually eat it, or half an hour, however long you have, you've done the preparation, you have the snacks that are accessible, that are healthy, or what you need, instead of just figuring it out, grabbing it along the way, you know, eating the Cheetos in the corner, because that's the only thing that's, because otherwise you're going to pass out because you didn't eat breakfast or whatever. I mean, when you're burning that down, I remember, you know, when I was trying to juggle too many plates, and that's changed now. But when I was in that phase, I ate terrible until and drank so much coffee and caffeine. It was incredible. Well, I got a that was a wake-up call for I was I'm not drinking, you know, soda anymore because of that, because that was terrible. It's like having a baby without even getting the baby at the end of it.
So you know what I love about, what I love about the word relationship with food is that we can, just like we can build a healthy tribe, we can build a healthy relationship with food. Like dating, we can start, and we can start small. We can just go to coffee.
I like that.
We could just go have a coffee date and then see if we want to go have dinner with them. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. But you know, I'm going to say this too. Like, I think that, again, and I always message like 4 years. So you have, and it may, you know, take people a shorter time.
Because they have you. They have you to.
Exactly. But, you know, but for me, it took a long time because, see, Dr. Lorraine, that was. I think you, Lorraine, you said something about how you were just so busy, right? So I had to make that no list of like, no, I'm not going to this event. And no, I'm not going to feel bad about going, not going to this event. Because I need to, because I need to have. I need to have time to cook my meal, you know, so, or I need to have time to relax, which, you know, I try, I shared that I have two daughters, and I have, you know, conversations with them about it's okay to take time to relax. Now, my husband is like, okay, you know, Savannah, who is my 11-year-old, he's like, she's taking too much time in the bathroom, you know, in the restroom. But I do, like, teach her, you know, like, it's, you know, take, you know, take your long bath, you know, soak up, you know, it's like you need to appreciate, you know, your time to yourself, you know, and it's okay for you to say, no, I can't do that right now. And especially not feel bad about saying, how does this event or activity build into my larger goals, right? Now, I'm not saying I have fun from time to time, right? I'm not at all saying that. But, you know,
you're like, what is the new what is the new Weight Watchers campaign and that Oprah's doing, the freestyle? You freestyle every once in a while.
Exactly. You know, so I'm not at all saying that. I'm just saying, like, you have, in order for you to make that time, there's some things that have to be removed off the plate.
Off the plate,
okay, I'm going to go back to my calendar,
really,
because we're calendar-driven, and build in focus on food, or focus on, and do those preparations,
because
it is super important. It's easy to forget because you think it should be this integrated, natural part of what you do, and I'm sure it becomes more natural as you adopt that lifestyle, but man, takes a lot of prep and planning and think, and just to get it set out right.
Let me just say too, so sometimes individuals will, you know, ask me like, well, oh, I'm just so overwhelmed with what do I cook, you know, for breakfast, lunch, dinner, like that. So I'm always, you know, reiterating, like, take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
One meal at a time. Do not get overwhelmed, because that is not helping your stress. That's not overall wellness, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you think about one thing that you could eat, or two things that maybe you could eat for breakfast, or, you know, think about something like, don't go to, you know, a restaurant or, you know, for lunch. Or if you do go to a restaurant, try to pick something that's, you know, whole food, plant-based, you know. So make those changes slowly over time, because what will happen, we'll do these, like, quick fixes and challenges and, you know, we'll get overwhelmed, and then we can't stay consistent, or at least that's what I've seen, you know, for myself.
It's a New Year resolution that does not work out.
It does not work out. And then we get into this vicious circle of, like, comparing ourselves to other women, which I loathe. And, you know, we get to, oh, well, she eats like that, so I should be able to do it, like, every day, 7 days a week. Nobody is perfect.
We are so different. We are so different.
Yes. We are so different. I like to say nobody is perfect, but we strive to perfection, right? So that doesn't mean that you can have an everyday mess up. Oh, I messed up Monday, so I'm going to just keep eating bad for, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So true.
You're right, exactly.
I'm so excited for Plated to go. So Plated Healthy is at? PlatedHealthy.com. Everybody can find you there. And you have a Facebook page.
I do have a Facebook
page. A very active Facebook page that you like.
So you can always follow me.
Okay. It's also Plated Healthy. Any other channels that you, social channels that you like everybody to be able to find you?
Yeah. So, of course, I have my, you know, my own personal page where people follow me. And that's Tiana Jenkins, and then I have my Play It Healthy page, Facebook page, which you can follow me there. You can also follow me on IG at Dr. Tiana Jenkins, and I also do quite a bit of posts around on LinkedIn around Play It Healthy. I post a lot of recipes there, but then I also post the flip side or the other side around food as well. You know, talking about access to food, the challenges that we have around access, and that some communities just don't necessarily have access to food, to healthy food and things like that. So I post topics around, you know, practice and things and policy around food and food systems.
And you're very active and you're doing really good work in all of that. Well, so we did talk a little bit about Tribe of Women, but we love to close all of our podcasts with just your little nugget on why you believe in Tribes of Women.
Why I believe in Tribes of Women?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I believe in Tribes of Women because I feel it is instrumental for our overall wellness.
Yeah.
Just over time, I've just learned that it's extremely important to connect and network with women who are supportive, who are like-minded, who can challenge you, who can support you, who may be different from you, but still supportive of your efforts. And we're all here to build up pushing women and girls forward. So I'm all about that and all about working with women and connecting with women who believe the same thing.
Do you believe in Tribes of Women? Join the movement in our newsletter for exclusive content by going to tribeofwomen.com. Click on our podcast tab and support us through Patreon by clicking Be a Patron. Follow and rate the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and other major platforms. Then, follow us for inspiration, motivation, events, and more on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter using @tribeofwomen. Thank you for being here. Please share Tribe Talk and Tribe of Women with your tribe to grow the tribe of women together. Until next time.